From AAC Studios, welcome to Scrappy, the podcast about small companies doing big things. I'm your host, Chris Stragus. There's something incredibly communal about sports, or more specifically, being a sports fan. Our favorite teams, whether local or state or national, draw us together in ways that few other things do. There's camaraderie and conflict. There's triumph and tragedy. And we all fully share in these feelings when we're a fan. This is such a collective exercise that it's a natural fit for one of the other communal things we most love, cooking and eating. And when you combine the two, well, there's nothing like a good old tailgate party. But if you were to add up all the food from all of the tailgates at all of the sports, you'd quickly realize the potential for a big problem. Today, we're talking with Therese Williams and Carrie Marin, two women who are raising awareness of the issues related to food waste and food insecurity in a really novel way, by harnessing the power of community around tailgating.
My name is Therese Williams, and I am the founder and president of Tailgates Tackle Hunger.
My name is Carrie Marin. I am the executive director for Tailgates Tackle Hunger.
One of their missions is to get people thinking about what to do after the tailgate if they do have leftovers. Making sure this excess food goes to people in need instead of into the garbage. But Tailgates Tackle Hunger is also committed to educating the tailgating community about smart approaches to preparing food so that they can actually reduce the potential for food waste in the first place.
Our mission and our real purpose is to educate the tailgating community on really just smart approaches to tailgating. What to do before the game to prepare for it, what to do at the game, and what to do after the game. It could mean, you know, reducing the amount of food that you're purchasing, that you're preparing the day of the game, and having a plan for the food afterwards. So I'm either taking it home and I'm going to reuse it with my own family, maybe I'm giving it to fellow tailgaters, or I've identified a local shelter that I can take it to and donate it. I think our real push is to let the tailgating community know that there are ways to give back and to do something with what you have in excess. And if you don't want to have excess, how to be smart about not getting excess. I mean, none of us want to have waste. So I think it really starts there on the educational side, and that's the pre-planning leading into a tailgate.
And I think that's why when we say tailgates tackle hunger, it's not just the tailgating event. It's that concept of people at tailgates can really lock arms in a lot of ways and do really good things around this whole concept of food insecurity and, you know, and waste. Both are important.
Tailgates Tackle Hunger operates mainly in the Philadelphia area. The nonprofit has a particularly big presence at Philadelphia Eagles games, where Carrie and her husband are known to bring family and friends by the busload to their tailgate. And I do mean by the busload. They actually bought and converted an old school bus into a rolling Eagles-themed tailgate headquarters. But the idea behind Tailgates Tackle Hunger actually started from Therese's own experience tailgating at her son's football games from the time he was a high school player.
My son was a football player, and all through high school and college. And at the high school level, he was in the local area. And tailgating was a big thing. It was a big program. It was St. Joe's Prep. And so it was, our week was about tailgating and preceding the game, which was really one of the most important things we felt we were doing for that week. And I have four children. Gary is my only son and three girls. So the three girls were groupies for this. And they were all high schoolers at the time or pre-high schoolers. And so, you know, this was our life. Then as we moved into college, and he went to Trinity College up in Hartford, Connecticut, and every weekend we went and we participated in the tailgating events, and of course the games and all the after celebrations. just started to come really clear to us, both of us, that there was so much waste going on. You know, this was a group of people who had a lot of means, and there were big events going on around this tailgating community. So what we used to do, and my son would play the game, we'd come back to the tailgate, hang out with friends, and then he and I would start collecting all the leftover foods. And that was the initial push. I load up the back of my car and we take it over to the local shelter in Hartford, Connecticut, which is a very need-based area. So from there, people started to catch on and they started to bring it to us. And so much so, by senior year, we would start putting flyers out with a little bit more organization around it. You know, what we could bring, what we couldn't bring. And by that point, the car was loaded with the leftovers. And it didn't seem like a big deal. It just seemed like the right thing to do. I came here, when Curry came here at Pinnacle Group, and we started talking about it. Curry has that hospitality background, and I wasn't short on the ideas for it. I was short on the arms and legs to it. And so with Curry's help and, I think, encouragement, we formed it as the nonprofit entity that it is today. And we really created the vision, a clear vision and mission around it, and really started to recognize what we wanted it and thought it could be. And so Curry, who is an avid Eagles tailgater, and I am a hanger-oner still, because we don't do it as big anymore, personally, but we just now continue to spread the message. So Curry has a platform now to really take it forward, and I have the education background to really continue to help build it out.
The basic purpose has always been about addressing food insecurity, which we can define as a lack of consistent access to enough food for an active, healthy life. A report from the USDA found that in 2018, 1 in 9 Americans was food insecure, which is about 37 million people. 11 million of those people are children. And in Montgomery County alone, here just outside of Philadelphia, food insecurity afflicts an estimated 72,000 people, according to data from Feeding America. When I first came across these numbers, I was astounded. The issue of food insecurity in our culture is huge, both nationally and locally. And it's not just limited to people who have to go without food completely. Just the uncertainty and anxiety about where your next meal is coming from has major consequences for people. It affects their health, as well as their ability to focus at school and at work.
Food insecurity is when an individual, their eating or purchasing habits have shifted. So to be hungry, it's a feeling. It's something that's physical. Your stomach's growling, you feel tired, you know, you can identify things that you can say it's because you're hungry, you don't have food. Food insecurity is when maybe you're not eating the way you used to because of maybe your financial situation. You know, you may eat a lighter meal, you may not have a meal, you may skip a meal. That's food insecurities.
As a fully fledged nonprofit organization, Tailgates Tackle Hunger is dedicated largely to educating people about these issues. According to their website, 97% of wasted food ends up in landfills. With roughly 50 million people across the country each year tailgating in a stadium parking lot, that can lead to a lot of waste if people aren't being proactive about what they're bringing and serving.
Now, there's going to be people, I don't know if I would call it resistance, but people who just, they don't think about it. As an avid tailgater myself, I'm at every Eagles home game. So I know I'm going to be there. My husband is a culinary instructor, so we both have that hospitality background. So for us, it was all about the big, you know, food in excess, because you never want to look like you don't have enough. And we've since changed our own way of thinking because of that, and we've started getting smarter. And to see them get around the idea of, let's make sure that we're not bringing too much, how many people do we have coming, and really taking tailgates as their own.
Like food insecurity, The issue of food waste is complex and far-reaching and has huge consequences for our society. There's no easy fix, but there are definitely ways to move the ball in the right direction.
This is something that I think about a lot, and I think was one of the ideas around Tailgates Tackle Hunger. I heard a statistic, and it was a visual, and it said, for every 4 bags that you fill in a grocery store that you walk out of with, you know, purchasing, you may as well just drop one of them on the ground because that's the food you're going to waste. It's a 25% model also. So I've sort of been keeping that in my brain as well. So now, I mean, this has even affected how I grocery shop. Mm-hmm. Because I'll go 3 times a week now so that I'm not dropping that bag in the parking lot. That kind of idea. So waste in general, and I think, Carrie, there's a lot you could say about this, and educating the tailgating community. But we're parents, we're family members, we're in communities. The idea then just transcends life where food is a part of it for yourself and for your families.
I had pulled up a statistic from Waste Management, and it estimates that 4 major professional leagues through the NFL, MLB, NBA, and NHL, that they generate approximately 35,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide each year. And that's just from their fans' waste activities alone. That's
staggering.
Huge. You don't think about, okay, so I have waste and I throw it in the trash can, and now that's going to a landfill somewhere, and that's emitting CO2. And when you can reduce waste, obviously there is an impact downstream just by reducing CO2, not to mention all of the other benefits that come out of that.
Both Carrie and Therese recognize that tailgating for most fans is really just about having fun. And they stress that Tailgates Tackle Hunger is not about taking away that fun. It's actually about empowering fans to be mindful about what they're bringing along so they can just focus on enjoying their time with family and friends. Because so often, it isn't really about the food anyway.
I'd like to go back to the favorite tailgating moment because it had to do with that snowy game.
Yeah, the snowball.
And we were all very festive, and then no one saw snow coming. And it was just like this community that was just together through this really cool experience. And so the food was the least important part of it. It's your community. And so that one particular, that game was just magical. You know, it just started snowing while you were tailgating. And then it became this crazy big storm.
Yeah, 9 inches of snow that they were not calling for.
They were not calling for. So, you know, but it is. It's the tailgating where you really, feel that excitement.
I feel very fortunate in the fact that I can go out every Sunday, that an Eagles have a home game, and I know I'm going to be surrounded by friends and family members, as we like to call them, that I may not otherwise see throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year even. It's like this whole separate consortium of people that I have fun with.
So how exactly do we as fans tackle food waste and food insecurity at our own tailgates? Carrie explained to me the idea of the MVP toolkit, which they've actually developed as a guide. It's available for download at their website.
And it's broken up into 3 parts. It's the pregame, so the preparing ahead of time, talking to your group, how many people do you have coming, who's bringing what, so you don't have 5 people bringing 50 hot dogs each.
Right.
It's, game day conditions. So even though you've planned for X amount of people and you're taking that food, are they really showing up? Because we all know game day conditions, it's too cold, it's rainy.
Yeah.
It changes people and their ability to get there or participate. So it's recognizing, well, we thought we were having 50, now we only have 25. Mm-hmm. Let's not cook all 50 hot dogs. So that you're still being mindful of it during the tailgate and then saying, well, I have my cooler, I'm going to put them in there, take them home for the next game. So that it doesn't interrupt the fun. We understand people still want to have fun. That's what tailgating, that's what stands behind it leading up to a game. You're getting pumped up. If you do the steps ahead of time, you can still have the fun.
Yeah.
And that's not the only techie approach they use to advance the cause. To connect leftover food with those in need of it, their team primarily uses two apps.
Food Connect is something that started local. It is an app. And what they can do is they can literally download that app on their phone. They can push a button that says, I have food. They can say what that food is, how much of that food they have. They hit a submit button. It works through the algorithms of the app, and it identifies a local agency that can accept that food. The other thing is they also have a pool of volunteers that will actually go and pick up the food at the donor site and deliver it to the recipient or the agency. There's also Food Finder, which is another app that is nationwide. It is geared toward people who need to find food, so either people that are hungry or people who are food insecure. And you could just put in your zip code and you can hit enter and it'll show you all the local pantries and kitchens that are within however mile radius you choose. It gives you like their contact information, hours, if they're a kitchen, when they serve. We use it as a resource for, we want to donate food, you know, so then we can look up what's close to us and we can start making those calls to say, this is the food we have, will you accept it? So it can be used on both sides, but really it's geared toward people who are looking for food. We just use it as a resource to donate.
Because I think also, you know, people are asking us, okay, now that you've told me what to do and how to do a better job with this, now what do I do with it?
There are plenty of other steps fans can take too. For example, instead of tossing out trays full of subs, or hoagies as they call them here in Philly, plan ahead and bring clear plastic bags so you can take the food into the game with you, if stadium rules allow it. You can also follow ServSafe guidelines, as Kerry explains.
So ServSafe is, in the hospitality industry, anyone who's serving or preparing food, usually you have to be certified or someone on your team has to be certified. And it does get very technical in, you know, what temperatures foods should be kept at and for how long before they become unsafe. And so while it's could be very technical, to train on all of it, we like people to be aware of the fact that cold foods should be kept cold and hot foods should be kept hot for them to remain safe for consumption. And usually the rule of thumb is for 4 hours. So once it's, you know, a cold food item that should be kept and served cold, let's just say potato salad, because everybody's, you know, worries about mayonnaise and eggs, right? So, you know, we'll use that. If it's sitting out and it's a 90 degree day and you're tailgating and it's been out for, you know, more than 2 hours, it's probably above that safe limit. And once it's past that safe limit for 4 hours, it should be discarded. And so why we want to keep excess to a minimum, you also have to make sure that you're not keeping something that's unsafe. And so that's part of the prep, the right. MVP toolkit just goes over, you know, don't put out 10 pounds of potato salad if only two people are at your tailgate right now. You know, maybe you're keeping it in the cooler on ice and you're only bringing out a small bowl or serving it, you know, right from the cooler for those two people. Because once it becomes unsafe, you shouldn't do anything with it. And so we want to avoid that.
Because the issue of food insecurity is so widespread, the efforts of Tailgates Tackle Hunger aren't just happening at football games. Kerry and Therese have spearheaded other efforts to collect food and help raise awareness throughout their community.
Once a year, we hold a food drive right before school is out. So usually the end of May, leading into Memorial Day weekend, because we do recognize that once kids are out of school, they are losing meals that may be provided for them, whether that's breakfast, lunch, and now that school's out, they don't have access to that. And so pantries do see an increase in need over the summer. So we focus on that at that time of year, collecting kid-friendly, healthy foods that we can then donate to local agencies who usually have like a kids' corner. Mana on Main is usually our largest benefactor for that event. And they have a kids' corner, and that's what it's geared toward. And they do see that uptick. There's other agencies out there. Disrupt Hunger is one that goes into some of the local schools on Fridays. And they provide not only a meal to the kids, but they also have a table set up with, you know, like prepackaged items, oatmeal, granola bars, applesauce that kids could pack up in a brown bag and take home with them for the weekend. So it's not even while school is out for the summer. It's even just that time from Friday when the kid is, you know, leaving school and they don't come back till Monday.
I can add, my daughter is a school teacher in the Philadelphia system. And one of the things, again, that happens when you're exposing the need, as we've been able to do through our organization, is that then they can apply it in these other settings. So what she was able to do is through Donors Choose, which is again another track for getting funding to get support, to get a refrigerator, and to get fresh fruit for her classroom so that she can help for the kids, because it's a disadvantaged population and they're coming in hungry. You know, she's always bringing lunch for people and field trips and all kinds of things. So again, it's an indirect link, but when you start to see more because you've been exposed to more, you find more ways of addressing the issue. And I think that's a direct line. I know Tailgates Tackle Hunger has helped to raise awareness around.
Keenly aware of the potential for a program like this, the Tailgates team also has their eye on the bigger picture. If you look nationally at college and pro soccer, baseball, basketball, and hockey, to name a few, there are just incredible opportunities to make a difference. But as anyone in business knows, especially nonprofits, the next steps to expansion are to explore the options of funding, whether it be from grants or corporate sponsorships or other sources. Therese and Carrie want to expand the reach and awareness of Tailgates Tackle Hunger outside of the Philadelphia area. In the process, they might even be able to do the impossible, improve the reputation of some of the country's most passionate fans.
I'm instantly thinking of how you hear all of these stories on TV, and they always highlight the fans that are, you know, heckling another opposing team's fan who's in the stadium. And I've been a season ticket holder for a long time. You have too, Therese.
Yep.
I don't see that.
No.
Yeah, and it could be because of me, because of my personality. You know, I think about all of the away fans who come and they're sitting in our section, and we love to find out what drove them there. You know, are they local? How did they become a Redskins fan or a Bears fan? And they have such interesting stories. And I think it would be great if we could take this somewhere else. And it's like, wow, like Philly's doing something. We're not throwing snowballs at Santa, you know,
yes.
We're not setting cars on fire. This is a tailgating group. Yeah, we're passionate about our team, but we're passionate about doing good too.
Exactly.
Thanks so much to both Therese and Carrie for their time. The Tailgates Tackle Hunger crew will actually be at the upcoming Eagles game on Sunday, November 17th, so please look out for the big black and green bus and show your support. You can go to scrappypod.com to check out show notes for the Tailgates Tackle Hunger website, the MVP toolkit, and some other data sources on food insecurity in the U.S. If you know someone doing something amazing that you think we should feature on our next season, please fill out the contact form at scrappypod.com to let us know. Thank you for listening to Scrappy.